Are you ready for a whole new way of being in the world? Welcome to Living from the Inside Out with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the electricity of life and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving, or just to explore the inside out understanding in relation to your life. 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Outside the U.S., dial 001-760-918-4300, and we will get you on just as quick as we can. But before we do that, as always, I'm going to kind of set the table a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about. And what I mean by the electricity of life, what I mean by... Okay, so here's a metaphor. So imagine that you live in a house that's wired for electricity, but there are no outlets that you can see. So you wind up learning to do everything with batteries. So you try and get more and more powerful batteries, but you know, ultimately you're always slightly at the mercy of your batteries running out of power. Because you can't recharge them because there's no electricity that you're aware of. Now, the electricity has been there the whole time. And suddenly, for whatever reason, somebody who knows the house better than you do comes along and goes, oh, hey, why don't you plug anything in? And you go, well, there's no outlets. And they go, oh, yeah. No, the outlets are kind of camouflaged so that they look like part of the skirting. They look like part of the whatever the little bit of wood that comes off the floor is, I think it's called skirting. But you know, they're part of that. And you look again and you see, oh my God, there are outlets everywhere. Well, without any dramatic changes in how you live your life, you would start plugging everything into the mains because you just would know, well, it works better. It gives you more freedom and flexibility. It lets you recharge batteries whenever they need recharging. It's just a more reliable source of energy. And when it comes to us human beings, the life is already pre-wired for electricity. In other words, that is the life force. It's all around us. It surrounds us. It's inside us. It's what animates us. And the interesting thing about how it works with us is that when we become aware of it, it amplifies its effect. So that's where it differs from my metaphor. So being aware that there are outlets is great. It lets you plug into them. But being aware of the electricity running through your body, of the aliveness running through all of life, that very awareness itself amplifies the experience of it. Now, I'm going to do a sort of an overview of the three principles that I talk about in one way or another every week on this show. Just for anyone who's new or anyone who just kind of wants a refresher, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit in terms of energy. And so at the simplest level, as simple as I can make it, Einstein said everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. Well, this is as simple as I got. So there are three fundamental principles, three fundamental forces in play behind any experience that a human being can have. And the first is that there is an energy that runs through everything, a oneness to life. And it works like an animating spirit. It invisibly brings things to life, like the electricity that stands ready to power anything you might choose to plug into it. Right? The electricity doesn't care what you plug into it. Life is best I can tell, doesn't care what you do with it. It is simply an animating energy. It's pure potential. It indiscriminately empowers any thought we drop into it. Like the lamp of a projector indiscriminately projects the shadow of whatever passes in front of it onto a screen, which is why you still see sometimes at movie theaters, you'll sometimes see a person's head walk across the screen because the light doesn't differentiate between film and human. It just, whatever's in front of it gets illuminated onto the screen. And so in the work that I do, in the inside out understanding, in the three principles, we talk about this invisible ever present energy as mind with a capital M. And the intersection of this oneness, this energy, this electricity of life with our personal biology, I talk about that as the deeper mind. It is the impersonal and personal. It's the place where humanity and divinity collide. It's the radiant mind. It's the intersection of spirit and biology. And it sometimes seems like that energy is outside of us because we see, oh, yeah, okay, there's electricity there, and I can see the electricity in the tree, and I can see the electricity in my dog's eyes. Well, we don't see it's the same electricity in us, and we can no more be separate from it than an individual wave could ever separate from the ocean. We are identifiably separate. Look, that's him, that's me. Right? That's part of basic child development 101, when a child can begin to discern between me and not me. But actually, fundamentally, it's all one. Now, that's the first principle, the electricity of life. The second principle, there's a capacity in human beings to be more or less awake to our experience and to experience life at different levels. So, in the abstract, we could talk about it as consciousness with a capital C, and it's like a mirror, right? Whatever passes in front of it is reflected in it, but the mirror isn't affected by it. So a mirror becomes no more or less powerful, no more or less reflective, if it's reflecting Hitler than if it's reflecting Mother Teresa. It becomes no more or less reflective if it's reflecting a bunny rabbit or a copy of the Bible. The mirror itself is constant. Consciousness is constant. It's the sky, and birds fly through the sky, and clouds come and go in the sky. The sky remains. So consciousness is universal. It includes the potential for any experience. But kind of like with the electricity of life, our personal level of awakeness to the potential expands and contracts moment by moment. And what causes it to expand and contract is our level of understanding of what's going on. In the same way as being awake to the energy of life, the electricity of life amplifies the feeling of it anyways. Being awake to the fact of consciousness expands it. Now, one other way of thinking about consciousness is the opposite of universal consciousness is self-consciousness. And self-consciousness is a contraction. So when we lose sight of the larger whole, when we start to get hypnotized by the separate self, me, not me, mine, not mine, well, then we fall into all of the traps and burdens and suffering of humanity. Of the ego that needs to prove itself without knowing that there's no one there at that level. There's nothing permanent there to prove. So we've got mind. We've got consciousness. Well, the third principle, the third fundamental element, the third foundational energy is thought with a capital T, and it's pure creative potential. And it brings form out of the formless. It's Sid Banks who was the first person to articulate these principles in this way. He talked about thought like a magical paintbrush. So thought is pure spiritual energy, right? It's just another aspect of this electricity. And it's the energy through which both our habitual thinking and inspired ideas both come to mind. It's the Plato of the universe. And just like Plato, you can use it to create monsters and demons. You can use it to create heavens and angels. You can use it to create a barbershop. The Plato doesn't mind. Now, unwittingly, because we don't understand that we're playing with energy, we don't understand that it's this transient energy, because consciousness makes it seem so real, we unwittingly create more demons than angels. And we don't notice that they're flowing forth from the same pen, that they're being painted with the same paintbrush, and we struggle. Now, when we deliberately orient our thinking towards the positive, we enjoy our lives more. We paint more angels than demons. When we see beyond both positive and negative to the space of pure consciousness which contains them, when we see beyond positive and negative to the energy of thought that creates the experience, when we look beyond positive and negative to the animating force, the electricity of mind which brings them to life, we thrive. And that's the electricity of life. And we experience it as a nice feeling, a feeling of aliveness, a feeling of presence, a feeling of being connected to the world around us. We experience it as a twinkle in our eyes. Other people actually tend to notice that before we do. And they respond to that inner twinkle, right? You know the expression, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Well, that's sort of somebody who's awake, but not awake to the electricity of life. When somebody is home, at home inside themselves, they're at home to the electricity. They feel it. It bubbles up inside them. It's like a wire being aware of the electricity that passes through it. And it's a completely different experience of being alive. So I will be taking calls throughout the show. And the numbers to call are 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. And I have actually completely lost sight of the board. So there we go. Okay, we are back on. The show is still happening. All is well. Okay, so let me talk a little bit more about this. What's sort of another way of speaking to it? When we move forward without an awareness of the electricity of life, in other words, when we move forward without sort of any awareness of what it is that's running through us, what it is that's available to us, what it is that we're running on, we wind up kind of looking for other ways of getting there. We look for other ways to power ourselves. We think we need to be powered on calories, right? We need to run on fuel, and food is fuel. And so we kind of power ourselves that way. And that is a decent form of energy, right? The, you know, physical energy. It takes a certain amount of calories to power a human being. And they can actually do calculations that show how many calories, which are energy. Calories are actually units of energy. I found that really interesting. A kilocalorie is a measurement of energy. It's not a measurement of fatness or future fatness. It's just, you know, like an amp or a joule. Well, when we sort of think that the whole thing runs on calories and that's all we've got, well, then we have to pay a lot of attention to what kind of calories are going in, and are they smooth burning calories? Are they empty calories, which burn really quickly and don't actually give the organism much fuel? Like, to what extent are we running on our biology? Because the problem is, if you're running on your biology, you've got a limited amount of energy and you need to keep refueling. Now, the second thing that people are used to running, the second kind of energy that people are used to trying to run their lives on, is willpower, right? So it's sort of, I can will myself to keep going. I can will myself to carry on. I can push myself beyond my body's limitations. Right? You'll see in some gyms, they'll have signs like, you can rest when you're dead, right? Because they know that you can will yourself. I remember actually working out with a trainer once, and he was trying to get me to do one more pull-up. And he said, come on, you're hanging onto the edge of a cliff. And if you don't get yourself up over the top of that cliff, you're going to die. Now do it. And I'm using every ounce of willpower that I have. And I just got to a point where I just collapsed and I said, I guess I'm going to die then. Because willpower is ultimately a limited resource. Now, you might be able to cultivate it. You might be able to develop it. You might be able to use it wisely. You know, they've noticed that a lot of that sort of mental energy, which willpower is essentially a mental energy, it's a physical mental energy, gets used up in making decisions. Right? It gets that actually that's one of the biggest drains on willpower is trying to make decisions, which is why decision making becomes such a big deal for people, because they just, it gets to the point where, I don't know, it's too hard, I'm too tired, I don't want to do it anymore. And so again, if you're reliant on mental energy, on willpower, you're going to run out of fuel. Now, fortunately, it does recharge every night. Every time you go to sleep, you wake up with more of it. But again, it needs to be refueled from outside you. The only energy source that we have that does not need to be refueled by out from the outside is this energy of life, this energy of mind, this electricity of life, because it's always on. Right? Like the electricity in your home, it's on right now, and you have some things plugged into it. But if you had nothing plugged into it, it would still be on. Well, we plug back into the mains by being aware that we're already plugged into the mains. And that energy, that life energy, is inexhaustible. It is unlimited energy. It can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only change forms. It can transform. Right? And that's the essence of transformation. That's the essence of transformative work, is this electricity of life goes from powering one thing to powering something else. It goes from animating in one form to animating a different form. The energy's the same. The pen that the drawing is coming out of is the same, regardless of what the drawing is of. And that's the beauty of it. That's the power of it, is it's universal. It's a universal energy. I don't get any more of it than you do. I can be healthy or unhealthy and have that same universal energy wanting to come through me. And that's why a lot of medicine, a lot of Chinese medicine, for example, is about just clearing the blockages. It's not about sort of, trying to fix symptoms. It's about clearing the blockages to this life force, to this chi, to this mana, this prana, this inner energy. So how does this play out in your life? Well, I mean, to a certain extent, you're the one who's going to answer that question, but let me have a go. Right? Because this plays out in our lives in somewhat predictable ways. So when we are low energy, we're like a phone that is running in low power mode, right? So, you know, I don't know about your phone. My phone kick about 20%, when it's at about 20% power, it kicks into low power mode. And in low power mode, I have limited access to apps. The background apps stop running, and it only kind of responds to specific things that I want from it. And there are certain things that functionalities that just are disabled because in order to preserve the remaining battery life until it can plug back into the mains, until it can be recharged. Well, a lot of us, because we're not aware of the electricity of life, because we try and run on our mental energy, the willpower, and or just physical energy, calories, we run at less than 20%. We run at 5%. We run at 3% constantly. We recharge just long enough. We sleep just long enough. We tune in just long enough to keep going. But we're going and we're going and we're going in low power mode. We're going and we're going and we're going without access to our full functionality. We're offline. So we're still functioning, but we just have very limited what we can do. Well, when we plug back in, when we wake up to the electricity of life that is already running through us, suddenly we get full functionality is restored. The screen gets brighter, right? The images get sharper. Everything works better. Everything works. Well, that's how it works. And the beauty of it is the simplicity that all we have to do, all we ever have to do is wake up to what's already there. And somehow that awareness, that attention is enough to amplify it. Now, it also amplifies when we're with others, right? It's one of the reasons why when we're with other people, often there's more energy in the room. My wife and I did a walk last weekend called the Avon 39, and it's a breast cancer charity. And the idea is to raise money to bring an end to breast cancer. And it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm reasonably fit. My wife is super fit. So we didn't think walking 40 miles was going to be a big deal. Basically, you walk 26.2. You walk a marathon the first day and a half marathon the second day. We thought, yeah, no problem. It'll be, you know, we'll be tired. Well, we didn't take into account that our bodies, which hadn't trained for this, took the pounding of the pavement a little bit harder than we had expected. And so we both, you know, had the experience of kind of really kind of fading as we went. But one of the things that was amazing was the support. People all over, we were doing this in Santa Barbara, people all over Santa Barbara, Montecito, Carpinteria, all the towns along the way that we would walk through, there were people lined up cheering. There were people lined up supporting the walkers. Well, somehow just being around people who were in that life energy woke us up to our life energy. Now, understand, we didn't take in any more calories when they said what they said. We didn't suddenly have more willpower magically. It's just for a minute we woke up to that energy inside us. And as soon as we're back aware that we're plugged into the mains, as soon as we're plugged back in to that electricity of life, boom, suddenly we've got extra energy. Suddenly it doesn't look so hard. Because the truth is, suddenly it isn't so hard. I'm going to go analogy crazy, but anyone who listened to the show with any regularity knows I just do go analogy crazy, so bear with me. But we have a hoverboard, you know, one of those things that explodes and you're not allowed to bring on airplanes anymore. Ours is, in fairness, we bought before all that came out and it's never exploded. But so it's a really cool thing. It's really fun. It's like an automated skateboard. Well, when the battery charge gets low, it can barely get up a slight hill. When the battery charge is full, it can get up some quite steep hills. So it's interesting that, you know, if you think of something like that, that's like on low battery charge, just trying so hard to climb a hill, whereas on full battery, it's like, whoop. And it's the same with us, right? We, you know, when we were, you know, full of physical energy, you know, the hills were fine. When we started running low on physical energy, the hills were harder. Now, the hills didn't necessarily get steeper. It's just that on low battery mode, we had less power. Well, life works like that. When you're in low power mode, when you're not plugged into the electricity, when you're not connected, you're not awake to the electricity of life, you're trying to run on the battery, everything seems uphill. Everything seems hard. Everything seems daunting. When you're in full power mode, when you've got the electricity of life running through you, when you're feeling it, even things that might technically be hard don't seem that hard. It's like, yeah, I got this. Because you are so much more connected to your own power. That's the beauty of it. That's the amazing thing. That's what allows us to do so much more than we think we can do. That's what allows us to go so much further than we think we can go. Is that we are awake to our capacity. you know, on my website at michaelneal.org, the first thing that it says is unleashing the human potential with intelligence, humor, and heart. Well, unleashing the human potential is about waking up to this electricity inside us. Waking up to the difference between trying to function in life on fumes, on battery power, on willpower alone, and navigating life from this deeper place in us, this deeper energy in us. It's a completely different thing. And when we begin to see the capacity of the electricity, our nature, our natural energy source, our vision gets bigger because things seem more possible. So let me talk about it in a different way. So I talk about how consciousness sort of expands and contracts, right? We can shrink down into pure self-consciousness, where all we are aware of is our separate self. And we can expand into big S self-consciousness. So at a limited view, all we're aware of is our own thinking. And it looks completely real to us. It looks totally objective. It looks totally true, even though it exists only in our own mind. Right? So whatever we think is true, right? Well, that's just how it is. It wouldn't be in my head if it wasn't true. I'm not stupid. Right? Well, look, we all think that. But when we start to expand into another level of consciousness, we become aware that, thought's a little more subjective than I thought it was, because I can actually go to a movie and one person can think it's a good movie and one person can think it's a bad movie, and that doesn't really make it a good movie or a bad movie. It just means that we have different thoughts, so we have a different experience. And if I kind of wake up even more and I expand even more in the scope of what I can see, I become aware of well, boy, there's different kinds of thoughts. There's sort of the habitual personal thinking that kind of just comes from my brain. It comes from memory. It comes from, you know, received knowledge. And then there's sort of another level of thought that kind of almost downloads into my brain. And we tend to talk about that as inspiration or intuition and wisdom. That's the intelligence of the electricity. That's the intelligence of life. And if we expand even further, right? If we can go beyond our little self and beyond the different kinds of thoughts we think, we see that the whole world that we live in is made of thought. And that's by design. We're not designed to experiencing anything but thought and the larger energy that thought comes out of, the larger energy. We're designed to both be aware of the painting and the paintbrush. But most of us are totally lost in the painting. We don't even know it's a painting. And that's sort of, when you start to wake up to the fact of thought, that's like the first real recognition of the human matrix, right? If you remember the movie The Matrix, things are not what they seem, no matter how real they look and taste and smell and sound and feel. Because beyond the human matrix is the deeper mind. It's the universal mind. It's the intelligence behind life. It's the energy behind life. It's the electricity of life. So when you start to look to your own potential, to look at what's the difference between success and failure in your own life and your own exploits, one of the things you'll notice, certainly what I've seen in the almost 30 years now of working with people, is that people who do really well over time aren't always the smartest people. They're not the most well-read people. Sometimes they're extrovert, but sometimes they're introvert. Sometimes they're, you know, one Enneagram style. Sometimes they're a different Enneagram style. Sometimes they're self-assured. Sometimes they're really neurotic and insecure. But what they all have in common is that they found a way of operating in harmony with the universal mind, with the electricity of life. They've learned to switch off the batteries, to plug in enough to let this deeper electricity, this deeper power come through. And it might happen spontaneously for them. It might happen in the shower, in the gym, driving to work, going for a walk in nature, drinking coffee in a cafe. They just suddenly, that electricity comes up in them, that intelligence comes up in them, and they just are able to do what they do. For people who are religious, it might come through prayer. For people who are spiritual, it might come through meditation. For some people, it's an act of surrender of individual will in favor of guidance. For some people, it's none of that. It's just getting out of the way and letting the creative mind take over. And they'll describe it as intuition. Oh, it's just my intuition. I'm just very intuitive. Well, it's just, I don't know. I guess I'm insightful. I don't know. It just seems like common sense to me. God speaks to me. It's the voice of God. Whatever that is, whatever, however they describe it, there is a deep relationship with an abiding faith in that inner electricity, in that inner wisdom, in that innate intelligence. So if I was going to use an analogy, and I do use analogies. By the way, I suppose I should mention the phones again. I will get you. I promise I will get to you. 866-254-1579. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. So think of your mind as having two modes. Okay, it's got a receptive mode, and it's got an active mode. So when your mind is in receptive mode, your thinking settles down because you're in receptive mode, and you gain access to a kind of an inner genius. You gain access to this inner intelligence. You gain access to this electricity of life. And it comes, you know, it's coming from somewhere deeper than your own brain. It's coming from beyond your personal database. And that energy, that intelligence guides us through everything. It can guide us through the most difficult seeming circumstances. But our mind also has an active mode. And the active mode's where we access our intellect, our stored knowledge. It's a processing capacity. It lets us quickly sift through tons of data in support of a specific result. And both modes of the mind are useful. But societally, we've learned to try to use the intellect for everything. We've learned to use that processing capacity as our primary means of navigating life. And the guiding wisdom of our innate intelligence only when we're desperate. Only when we've lost hope. Only when we've tried everything and we don't know what else to do. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it works far better in reverse. There's an expression that I've heard credited to so many people that I have no idea who originally said it. But that, you know, the intellect is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. So when you let this guiding intelligence, this guiding electricity, this power behind life be the navigational principle in your life, your intellect settles down. Your intelligence kicks in more. You feel more alive. You feel more at peace. You have more insights. Simple insights like, huh, oh gosh, this would, I could do this left-handed instead of right and it would be easier. And deep insights like, oh, I don't have to continue acting out this childhood pattern. I can start fresh right now. We tend to get philosophical about life. We tend to take things less personally. We see that life's hard sometimes. Life's difficult sometimes. It's not an us problem. It's a life thing, right? Sometimes things go your way. Sometimes they don't. That's not because you're not doing it right. That's because that's how it works. And when you see that, you don't get so worried about it. You don't get so caught up in it. You connect more deeply with others because the electricity in you kind of sinks to the electricity in them. And it's like it amplifies it and it gets buzzy. Now, none of those things are ends in of themselves. Those are the effects, the natural result of using our minds more in line with their design. Your intellect's not going anywhere, right? It'll be there when you need it. But it was never designed to run the show on its own. All right, let's go to Seattle and let's speak with Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for this presentation you offered. Lovely.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Really enjoying this idea of the electricity inside of us. And I can say that in times of my life where I've really relied on that, it's almost as if I forgot how you worry. like there's no thread between me and having a terrible day of worry. But if I let go of this electricity inside of me, then my capacity to worry comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find myself realizing, you know, sometimes things like I ran out of money last year. Mm-hmm. I've always had enough money, even if I only had $5 left. I always had money. But last year was the first year I ever really ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And my worry really kicked in and said, wow, all your ideas of really being, you know, in trust mode that it's going to work out, it's not working out yet that more money is coming. And I really, really started to relate to worry, to the fact that I grew a lot of debt, and I only now have come up with a way to acquire money, and it'll all be paid off, and my worry's going away. But that's not really the electricity you're talking about. I mean, you're really talking about that spiritual awareness that we are always in a flow, even if things aren't going the way we planned. And I suppose right now, while I'm looking at past moments with worry, I'm looking at past situations with love or jobs or other things, I'm also focusing on the fact that I just sold my house. They're going to cut me a big fat check. And I want to set things up so that I can avoid worry of money in my future. But I think what I'm doing is I'm setting myself up to tap into my intellect as opposed to tap into this electricity you're talking about.
I think you're actually pretty spot on. And let me share why I think that is, and then you can tell me what you hear in that. So the idea that money is a cure for worry about money doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Because I know a lot of people with a lot of money who worry a lot about money. Now, I know a lot of people without a lot of money who worry about money. And I know some people with a lot of money who don't worry about money. And I know some people with no money who don't worry about money. Worry is an independent variable. Mm-hmm. Worry is when the intellect tries to do the job of the electricity.
Yep. And that's when I get in trouble, regardless of what we're talking about.
That's where every human being gets in trouble, regardless of what we're talking about, right? That's not a you problem. That's a human being problem.
I see.
Now, that actually turns out to be great news. Because as you wake up to the nature of worry, as you start to see, worry is just a habit of thought, based on the false notion that we're good at predicting the future. We're terrible at predicting the future. Now, we can sometimes create the future in a way that matches up to what we made up. But in terms of actual, like I always talk about, because of course this is Hay House, and I've met a lot of the wonderful psychics and readers, you know, but I can promise you, you know, good as their abilities are, and some of them have gifts I don't understand for a minute, they're not going out buying lottery tickets every week, right? They're not going out making these stock market picks, right? It's an inexact science. You know, so if the top psychics in the world aren't really using that as their primary navigational tool, it might not be such a great idea for the rest of us.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Now, what we've got instead is a real-time responsive GPS system, right? We have this, the way this electricity works in us, the way this intelligence works in us is in real time, we know what to do. But we spend so much time in fantasy. We spend so much time in the movies of our mind making up futures and trying to imagine how we would deal with them, that we don't, it dissipates our intelligence. It dissipates this electricity. And so there isn't that full power available to the moment. When we bring that full electricity of life in us to this moment right now, we are capable of extraordinary things.
You are so right. And it's for me, the only time I really get to see the true power of my electricity is when my worry returns and I realize it hasn't been with me, and I've been connected to something that allows me to feel present. And when my worry returns, I wonder if it's because I think if my plan doesn't work out, it'll be too hard for me to let go and be in that presence of electricity and my own innate knowledge, that I'll worry that my intellect has to come up with the next plan.
So, Debbie, have you read The Space Within?
No, I've read The Inside Out Revolution. And
okay, so here's what I'd love you to do. Stay on the line when we're done, and I don't know if it'll be Rachel or somebody else. We'll get your details, and we'll get you a copy of The Space Within.
Thank you.
Because I think you essentially the very first part of that book is called One Problem, One Solution. And it's all about exactly what we're talking about, that the only real problem is we lose touch with this energy. We get caught up in the intellect. And as soon as we come back to ourselves, we find our way. And that's no different in money than relationship, than health, than career, than any other area of our lives.
Thank you so much, Michael.
It's a pleasure, Debbie. Thank you for phoning.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, stay on the line. Okay, so that's the simplicity and the beauty of this. It's not that the power isn't there for you. It's not that the electricity isn't there. It's there right now. And all that happens is there's more or less interference. There's more or less thought noise that the electricity has to kind of get through before we start to feel it. And when you start to see thought as just this ever-changing manifestation of energy, then it comes and it goes. You don't really have to think about it, right? Clouds come and go. They take different shapes. They're really cool. Sometimes they're wet. Right? Sometimes they're gray and lightning comes out of them. Sometimes they're fluffy and white and they look like the Simpsons. But it's not something that takes your energy. Well, thoughts like that. And when we're not thinking about our thinking and thinking we should be thinking this and we shouldn't be thinking that, we should think more like this and think less like that. When we recognize there's no need to think about our thinking. It's a self-regulating system like the weather, like any ecosystem. It's a self-correcting system. Then all that energy is available to us right here, right now. So here's a metaphor I sometimes use. So imagine you wake up in a completely dark room. And probably, as you sort of kind of get up, you're going to be still. You're not going to move much because you don't want to bump into anything or anyone or anything that might be out there, but at some point you start to realize you're not the only one there. There's others there in the dark. And they've learned to function relatively effectively. You can see, oh, they seem to be able to navigate this. Now, the way that a lot of them have done it is they've memorized their way around a relatively small area. So they can navigate it with confidence as long as nothing out of the ordinary happens. So my mother-in-law has dementia. And she finds it very difficult to remember a lot of things, including which of us are her family members and which ones aren't. But for whatever reason, she knows the roads to the different supermarkets near her. So she was able to, as long as she stayed in the neighborhood of her supermarkets. She could get around just fine there because somehow she'd memorized that. My daughter is living in Morocco right now. She's just gone over there as part of a college exchange program, a university exchange program. Well, she's living in the Medina, in sort of the maze of houses and market stalls, sort of like if they think Aladdin, you know, with the kind of craziness of those streets, and it's all like a labyrinth, and there's no marked streets. Well, she's now learned, having been there for 10 days, to navigate her way around by cat. So it turns out that the stray cats have sort of marked out certain street corners. And so she kind of like, she goes, okay, so if I turn right at the tabby and then, you know, left at the gaggle of gray cats, and then right where the fat cat is, if I take like a slight left there, I get to my place. You know, so that's how a lot of people navigate life. They've memorized how to do certain bits. So they live in a small world, but they're kings and queens within that world. They can navigate that world with utter confidence. Now, there's other people who have maps that were drawn for them. So that would be like, if my daughter Clara, you know, if I wanted to find her and I had her list of cats. Now she's learned it, but I would just be following her guidance. And if I miss one of the cats, I've got nothing to go on. Right? Because it's the accumulated wisdom of somebody else. But the problem with a map is it's difficult to read in the dark. It's easy to misinterpret. Does she mean this ginger cat? Which cat is fat? Is that cat fat? Is that cat? Right? So now, for all those people who are navigating through memory and all those people who are trying to navigate my maps, there are some people in this darkened room, in this metaphor, who act as a light in the darkness. So they're lit up. They're filled with the flame of their own wisdom. They're alive with the electricity of life. And it casts enough light to both draw others to them and guide them forward. And so here's the trick. Here's the secret. That divine spark of electricity is alive and well in you right now. And it's just waiting for the gift of your own attention to help it burst into flame. In that sense, you're not so much a candle waiting for somebody else to light you. You're a firefly who doesn't know that you've got electricity in your butt. So you're looking to all the other flies to find your way. But the moment you wake up to the fact that you light up too, well, then from that moment forward, you can find your own way. And that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of waking up to the electricity. That's the beauty of seeing more of how things actually work. And it plays out throughout life. It plays out in performance. Think about your favorite sport. Think about one of your favorite athletes. When they're at their best, maybe you're not into sport, maybe you know, a dancer, an artist. When they are at their best, they are filled with the electricity of life. They are present to what they're doing. They're responsive to their environment. They somehow know just what to do and just the right time. But from time to time, they're going to lose their bearings, right? From time to time, they're going to switch over to battery mode, to mental power, to calorie power. They're going to go off their game a bit, and they'll get caught up in their heads, and they'll try and replace the electricity of life with batteries. They'll try and replace the electric light with candles. They'll try to replace the flow of instinct and intuition with rules and information. They'll start to spend more time worrying about performance than actually performing. Kind of like Debbie was saying, around money. And it's true for each one of us. It's an unbreakable rule in the game of life. The more time we spend being on our game, alive to this electricity, the more effective we'll be, the higher our level of performance will be, the better results we're going to produce. The less awake we are to this, the more sporadic it is, the more we try to do it on battery power. the less effective we're going to be, the lower our level of performance will be, the lesser results we'll produce. And if you think about it, right, just think about this for yourself. I mean, this is an arbitrary exercise up to a point, but it might be helpful. What percentage of your time do you spend awake to the electricity of life? You know, is it a minute a day? Is it half an hour a day? Is it an hour a week? Is this the first time you've been conscious of it? Now, it won't be, right? You might not have thought of it in terms of this metaphor of electricity, but there have been times in your life where you have been very alive. But how much of your time do you spend there? And what would it be like if you spent even 5% more of your time awake to the electricity of life that's running through you right now? Awake to this potential of all these outlets that you can plug anything into. And that you don't have to plug anything into. And how do you know? So like for me, I know when I'm plugged in, right? I tend to be very focused on what I'm doing. I tend to be very present, right? I tend to be quite reflective. I tend to actually be quieter. I once described it as being like an upside down duck. I don't know if you know the metaphor of the duck, that a duck is calm on the surface but paddling like hell underneath. Well, to me, it's more like being an upside down duck. I tend to paddle like hell on the surface, right? I'm a bouncy person. But when I'm plugged in, I'm very, very calm underneath all that noise. When I'm plugged in, my sense of humor is really present. And I just have a general sense of well-being. Now, at the same point, when I'm kind of lost my way, when I've gotten unplugged, not really, because we can't really, because it's what we run on, but I've lost sight of it. Well, I get very busy-minded. I start obsessing about things. I start worrying about things. I start trying to figure out how am I going to do things. I start trying to work everything out in advance. I become very judgmental of myself. I lose my compassion for self and compassion for others. I ruminate. I lose my sense of humor. My sense of humor gets a bit edgy. I get caught up in my own neurosis. Now, knowing that doesn't mean it never happens, right? We all lose our bearings from time to time. We all get unplugged within the metaphor. We all lose the feeling. We get caught up in dark thoughts. We get caught up in a low mood. The world seems harsh and unforgiving. And to the extent that we can see that for what it is, which is just, yeah, I somehow got unplugged. I somehow got disconnected from this feeling of life. Well, then we'll limit the damage that we do to our relationships, to our careers, to our lives, because we'll know all it is that we're disconnected. All the things, it's not that our life has suddenly got 10 times harder. It's that we're trying to navigate our life with 10 times less power. And the beautiful thing is, because we're already plugged in any moment we can wake back up to it. And the moment we do, our mood rises, our energy rises, we feel more ourselves, we can trust our thinking, we take appropriate action, we move forward with our lives. And once you recognize just how different life is when you are awake to its electricity, when you are awake to the electricity running through you, than when you're not, you naturally orient yourself towards that awakeness. Once you recognize how that electricity helps you create better results in everything you do, once you are more awake to when you get unplugged, everything gets easier. So coming to the end of the show, if you like the kind of things we talk about on the show, go to michaelneal.org. You'll find a ton of resources, videos and audios and weekly blogs where I talk about this. Got books, new book coming out, Creating the Impossible, coming out in January. And the course we're running right now that a lot of people are enjoying from the show is the Obstacle Course to Success, michaelneal.org/obstacle. Have fun, learn heaps. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.